I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. As we watch children, we see in their evolution and language development that they learn how to subtly nuance things. They begin with major absurdities, and as they become more skilled in their language and their storytelling, the explanations that they offer reflect their learning. Where they may begin a story with a monster coming in, and that's what happened, to this particular piece of cake or something else, and that's what broke the toy. Their stories become more logical, more sensible, more systematic. That line of logic and nuance continues to become more and more refined. They learn how to lie with a straight face. We have evolved to the point where certain lies become indistinguishable by those who are closest to us. That takes time, but it still happens. And it's a skill that we continue to hone with age. As we get older, we get better at it. And with those who are really masterful, it reaches a point where it's indistinguishable or impossible to determine the truth, sometimes in the face of absurdity. There's a song that was out a long time ago that had this line where someone was acknowledged as being a most beautiful liar. That's when their beauty came out. And for whatever reason, in this culture, in this society, we have come to appreciate the skill of lying as an art form. We have such an appreciation for lying that it's honored in many circles as an acceptable process because others can't disprove it. While we may know a lie is being presented, in the absence of evidence to the contrary, it's accepted as the truth. And it's sad to accept and admit that our culture is to a very large extent based on lies. The way we live is based on lies. And that is so unfortunate in that it leaves very little room for there to be authentic conversations and authenticity in relationships. It's not as if we don't know right from wrong, because we do. And it's not as if we intentionally want to disobey our faith or disobey God, but in essence, we do. It's not as if we don't have the capacity to be honest, because we most certainly have that capacity. It brings to mind a really powerful line where the source is sort of cloudy or forgotten, but the line goes something like this: a lie where you don't get caught is as good as telling the truth. A lie where you don't get caught is as good as telling the truth. And this is a sad but true statement, and it's unfortunate, but it is an unspoken credo by which many people live. If we were all able to stop and just take a moment to look at our tracks, to look at the wake behind us, we would see all of the lies that we have left in our wake, that we've left behind us. Now, what would your trail look like? Some trails would be as wide as the Hudson River, while others would be as wide as the Hudson River. We think because it's not an overt lie that it's not a lie. We think because the little white lies go by that they don't count, or they don't count as much, they don't carry as much weight. Now, mind you, this wake of those lies should also include lies of omission. And lies of omission are those truths that we withhold, or the facts that we don't share. Simply because we tuck these items away, we think they don't exist. We think they don't matter. But they do. That's simply not the case. We carry these things with us. It's as if we carry a backpack, and we continually place more and more things in that backpack. Over time, we have to trade it in for a larger backpack. And when it gets filled up, we have to trade it in for what cotton pickers use, those picker sacks. That's what they call them. And those long sacks would trail down the aisles of the field. They were long because the workers had to move along and fill those bags, and some of them were quite long, 9, 10 feet long. We carry picker sacks throughout our lives. We pretend that they're not there, but we all have them. We rarely acknowledge the presence, and we operate as if all is well. Rarely do we take the time to empty our picker sacks. And we would never, ever consider giving up our picker sacks altogether. Perish the thought. It's the process of carrying around that sack that allows us to hold on to that statement that says, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that in and of itself is another thing to put in that picker sack. So what is there to do? What can we do about these conditions that absolutely consume us in a covert manner? It's really not covert, but we operate as if it is. Where are we in our own defense, in our own liberation? Ultimately, it's not a mystery as to who's doing the acting and who's the force behind it all. We know who's in charge here. But what is there to do? First, we have to realize that we are not alone. We would like to think that that is the case, but we're not alone. Rarely do we take the time to be powerfully intimate with our own truth. Rarely do we take the time to be powerfully intimate with our own truth. At the same time, we don't take the time to be powerfully intimate with another. Where can we rest ourselves in the love, comfort, and wisdom of another? Who can rest themselves in the love, comfort, and wisdom that we can provide? Who is that for you? Where is that total freedom inside of truth, love, and comfort for you? And how can you be that for another? Just as God, through Jesus Christ, is that place of rest for each of us, we can be that place of comfort and rest for each other. It's a process of being ourselves in front of another without judgment. Starting from a space of love, we can partner with another through whatever the issue or challenge. Starting from a place of love, we can truly conquer anything. That's what it looks like to give up that picker sack. That's what it looks like to give up, I don't know why I did that. That's what it looks like to give up the fears that cause us to do what we say we don't know why we did it. And that's what it looks like, to embrace the love from and with another and to step into truth. That's what it looks like to be an expression of God. God bless.